It amazes me. I don't know why, but it does. I guess because I have a simple mind. How God uses his word to help us when we need it. The passage we're talking about today, I think, can be very applicable to our time today, the world we're living in. Hopefully I can communicate to you clearly what the Lord's put on my heart. If I can't, hopefully the Lord will communicate to you what you need to hear by his Spirit. A little background as we conclude the book of 2 Timothy. This is Paul's final writing to us. He says in chapter 3 that difficult times will come. How fitting. Many of us might think right now, difficult times are here. There's been difficult times throughout history, right? Here, Paul writes that difficult times will come. We need to focus on the Word of God. Focus on the Word of God. It is the resource of the believer. He says in chapter 3, verse 16, a very popular verse, that all Scripture is inspired by God and is what? Profitable, right? It's profitable. All Scripture. And we'll get to that in a little bit. I'll probably mention that again. He says in chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word. Dan mentioned that as I was coming up. Preach the Word. You can't go wrong if you preach the Word. It also says there in verse 3, and let me mention, that is our responsibility, right? As believers in Jesus Christ, we see that as our responsibility to preach the Word. So we have the resource, right? We have God's Word, that's our resource, and we have the responsibility to preach it, to preach the Word, to let others know. There's coming a time, it says in verse 3 of chapter 4, time is coming when people want to have their ears tickled. That's what it says, in my translation anyway. And it kind of makes me laugh thinking about that. Why would people want their ears tickled? Seems kind of funny. But I think the point is, they don't want to be offended. They want to hear something that makes them feel good. Possibly today, you will have your ears tickled. My prayer is you won't. That's not the purpose of us ministering to you this morning. Or as we, no matter who it is up here sharing Scripture, the purpose should not be to make you feel good about yourself. Now, on the opposite side of things, we're not up here to make you feel bad about yourself either, right? We're just here to what? Preach the Word. Because that is our responsibility. We have the resource. Our responsibility is to preach the Word. Verse 7, Paul, in some of his closing remarks, says, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. The three F's there, right? The fight, the finish, and the faith. And then in verse 8, he says, there's a reward coming to those that are longing or loving his appearing, his return. This day and age, wouldn't that be a great ending to a movie? Bam, it's done. He's lived his life. He ran the race. It's over. He's getting his reward. When he gets to heaven, curtain closes. Boom. It's over. Let's just end the book there. Wouldn't that be the best way to end a movie, right? Is on a high note, we're all feeling good about ourselves. We feel good about the actor, the character that we were just reading about. Paul doesn't end there. Some have said that maybe all Scripture is not inspired. There are some, maybe from what I read, in the recent church history, say over the past 300 years, some have taught that not all Scripture is inspired by God. Only the parts that are doctrine, only the parts that are teaching, not all the kind of little side note things. When I read chapter 3, verse 16, it says three letters, all Scripture. It doesn't say parts or most or a good chunk of what's written is sound. It says all Scripture is inspired by God. Again, who is this God? We are worshiping and remembering God the Father this morning, but more importantly, His Son, Jesus Christ. All Scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable. So, I think we would all agree, I hope we would all agree, that these last verses, verses 9 through 22, that we're going to touch on this morning, are profitable. There's a reason why they're here. And many times, as some have mentioned in the past, when we're reading through genealogies, what in the world are we doing there? Why is that in here? Well, there must be a purpose. It's profitable for something. Maybe I need to stretch my mind and figure out what it is. Maybe the Holy Spirit needs to work in my heart to show me what it is. All means all. The greetings, the comments, the people that are mentioned, it's all inspired by God. Here we see a lot of people mentioned by Paul that he met along his travels. This is useful for us today. Let's read verses 9 through 22. Make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, but Trophimus I left sick at Miletus. Make every effort to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, also Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you're in control of all things, that you are sovereign, that you're Lord over all. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning realizing that there are times that we are weak, we are discouraged, but Father, you are more powerful than those things. Help us in our weaknesses. Encourage us, Father, each day. Help us by your Spirit to love you more and more every day. Help us to not lose heart. Help us to focus on you. Help us to focus on your word. And help us to preach the word. Thank you for it. And by your Spirit, Father, I pray this morning that you will touch each one of our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen. Verse 9, starting there, we're not going to go verse by verse this morning. We're going to be looking at some things that jumped out to me. I was telling Stephen, I may have mentioned this in the past, I'm not sure. As I start to look at teaching, I start reading the text and looking at various things, and I start seeing all these different options, ways to go, as far as what to share. And at times it can be a struggle to know where to go because there's so many things. Maybe the Lord wants me to share this. Well, but there's this, but there's this. My desire this morning is to share something with you that I hope you will benefit from. If you don't, I'm sorry. But I've benefited from it. So here it is. In these verses, I don't know if you counted up or not, but there's 17 names mentioned here. That's a whole lot of names that Paul mentions. He must have had a good memory to remember all those that he's come in contact with and that he's seen. And if you look back over his time, he mentions in Acts and everything in his time here, about 100 names, over 100 names that he's written down in Scripture that he's come in contact with or he knows about. Paul recognizes the needs of people. He realizes that we need the whole body of Christ. You're reminded in 1 Corinthians 12, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. We need everybody in the body to be working for the body. It's important to have other people. He refers to other people in his letters as fellow workers and fellow servants. He realizes they were important. He needed them. He says in verse 9, make every effort to come to me soon or quickly. Why did he say that? Why did he want Timothy to come to him soon or quickly? What was the rush? A few possible answers. One, winter was coming. It was getting cold. He says a little bit later, we may mention it, he needed his cloak, his coat. The prison isn't a nice, warm, shelter place, right? We learned that at the very beginning. It's a damp, cold place, especially in winter. He might want something to keep him warm. A cloak would be nice. I don't know that they provided that for him in prison. Must not have, because he was asking Timothy to bring it to him. Winter was coming. Paul knew that the ships had a hard time sailing in the Mediterranean from Ephesus to Rome. So he needed to get on the boat quickly. Get here before it's too late. I need my cloak. I need the books. I need the parchments, he says. But maybe more importantly, for him in his last days, a continuation of verse 9. Notice, I believe it's a continuous sentence. Maybe in my Bible it has a semicolon, I think. But it's one sentence. What does he say about Demas? Demas has deserted me. The Greek here for deserted, my understanding is, the Greek scholar that I am, it means utterly abandoned in the midst of a dire situation. Utterly abandoned. Can you imagine doing that to somebody? A friend, a colleague, a partner that you're serving with, a fellow worker, that you utterly abandon them in their time of need? Paul is alone, except for who in verse 11? Luke. Luke is with him, but we're going to see he's not with him there currently, I believe. He's feeling the need for support and encouragement from others. He knows he's at the end of his life. What does he also say in verse 11? He says, pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. Isn't it interesting? When you think of Paul and all of his writings, typically I tend to maybe put Paul on a pedestal, right? Paul's the MVP of Christianity. The most valuable player. He's the guy that makes everything work. Without him, what would the New Testament be like? He's the guy that did it all. He made things happen. And yet here, we see him in his last days, he was left alone. He was deserted, utterly left alone, abandoned. And it wasn't that he was utterly left alone when he was on the high life of his life, high part of his life. He was down a low valley, right? He was at a low point. He was in prison, and he knew he was about to die. He knew his time was ending. And we're going to see here in a little bit, his first defense, verse 16, nobody was there to encourage him or support him. He had come in contact with thousands of people in his ministry time. Thousands had come to Christ because of Paul. And yet no one was there at the beginning of his trial. When charges were being brought against him, when bad things were being said against him, nobody was there to say, no, that's not true. He wasn't like that. That's not right. Do you remember when our Savior Jesus Christ was brought on trial? Who was there for him? Nobody. What did his disciples do? His key guys, the one that he selected. What did they do? They abandoned him. They didn't want to be associated with him. They were scared. We kind of see maybe the same thing here with Paul. He was deserted, utterly abandoned in the midst of a dire situation. In verse 16, we see, let's go ahead and jump there. It says, at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. Again, the same word, deserted. Same Greek word. May it not be counted against them. What in the world? Wouldn't you be upset if you were Paul? Here, I've served all of you people. I've helped you. I've encouraged you. And you're not here for me now. And yet, he does not hold it against them. Have you ever been in a dire situation? In a difficult time? Why are people in difficult times? Why does it happen? Maybe it's because of poor choices, you know? I struggle with when people are in a bad situation, I tend to say, you know, they did it to themselves. They chose that. They deserve it, you know? That's the bed they chose. You know, that's what they get. That's what they get. It was a poor choice they made. You reap what you sow, right? Another possibility people are in dire situations is because of sin. We live in a sinful world. And things happen that put us in difficult situations. Another reason why people might be in a dire situation because they're following Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we see with Paul here, right? It wasn't, to my knowledge, of any poor choice that he made. He was in a bad situation because he chose to follow Jesus Christ, to be his. Paul writes, earlier in 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be what? Persecuted. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Paul was in prison here for following Christ and doing the right thing. Verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. So who was with Paul? God was. Where did Paul gain his strength? From God. What an example to us, right? Where do we draw our strength and our power? Should be from the holy God, the righteous, just God, not from this world. Martin Luther said this, one plus God is a majority. Someone has said, your circumstances never go beyond where God can work. Your circumstances never go beyond where God can work. You know, many of us living now, January 18th, 18th, I think is correct. 17th, sorry. 2021, feel like we're in a dire situation. But you know what? Our circumstances never go beyond where God can work. As Dan was sharing earlier through the songs, God is in control. We're in His hand. We may go through hard times, but that's okay because we are God's. When we're faced with difficult situations, what do we say typically? What do I say? Why, God? Right? Why? Why is my child like this? Why is my marriage like this? Why is my job like this? Why do things seem out of control? Why am I going through all these hard times? Why do I have this disease? Why am I sick? What should we be saying, possibly? Thank you. Maybe how? How can I use this circumstance in my life to grow closer to God? How can I use this circumstance in my life to tell others, to be that light, as Dan was talking about, in a dark world? How, God? How can you use me? You know, at Labor Day conference this past year at Horton Haven, Nate Bramson was speaking, and he shared, you know, many of you know he has cancer. And he did not, I don't remember the whole story, but what I got out of it was, he was asking God how he could use this to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. He was not blaming God. He was using it to say, how, God? It wasn't something that he saw as a thorn in his flesh. He saw it as an opportunity to serve his Savior. We should see it the same way. How, God? Can I use this bad time to make it a good time for Jesus Christ? Paul sees his opportunity here, not as a problem, but as an opportunity. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. All things, right? Not some things. Powerful word that all word is. How can I be used by God in these circumstances that He has me in? It's interesting, the word in verse 17, strengthened, there is the same Greek word as in Acts 9:22. Do you know what happens in Acts 9? Acts 9 is when Saul becomes Paul. He's on the road to Damascus. And he goes through the conversion, and he's there, and it says, Paul is strengthened. It's the same Greek word used. Jesus is the same. At the beginning of his ministry, Paul's ministry, he's strengthened by God. And at the end of his ministry, he's strengthened by God. I would assume throughout his whole ministry, what happened? He was strengthened by God, not his own strength. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Paul could rely on that. We can rely on that. We can rely on God's presence and His power. Paul had faced other trials. This wasn't the hardest part of his life right here at the end. He had been in prison before. He didn't try to talk his way out of it. How can I be used to make the most of this opportunity? I think is what he was saying. Verse 17, we see he proclaims, he makes the proclamation so that all the Gentiles could hear. How have my present circumstances provided an opportunity for God to work in my life so that I can live for the Lord to help other people? God has allowed you in His sovereignty to be in the situation you are in. How are we going to use that to bring honor and glory to Him? It says he is here, he was delivered from the lion's mouth. Looking at that, many people wonder, what in the world is he talking about there? As a Roman citizen, it wasn't normal for them to cast the prisoners to the lion's mouth, right? That's not what they did to the Roman citizens back then. So what's he referring to? Maybe referring to Nero. Nero was a bad man. Possibly he is referring to that, to deliver him from Nero. Maybe delivering from the devil. I think we don't really know exactly, but it seems to indicate maybe just the evil forces against him, the bad things. Deliver him from that. Paul knew he had delivered him before and will do it again. It says here, and continue to rescue him from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Paul didn't look at his death as a horrible thing. Paul didn't necessarily think, okay, God's going to rescue me out of this prison, rescue me from death. He's going to rescue me to an eternal life, right? To his heavenly kingdom, to an eternal kingdom. Absent from the body and present with the Lord. One of the songs we were singing, and it's left in my mind now, that Dan had, talked about remembering, I think, something to the effect of basically remembering your salvation. Remember when you were first saved. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. That's what it was, wasn't it? When Jesus washed my sins away. Have we lost that happy day? For me, I was 4 years old. That was a long, long time ago. And for me, I had not gone through what some of you have gone through. So for me to sing happy day, honestly, I don't remember that day specifically. But you know what I do know is that I've had happy days because of that day that Jesus took my sins away. He rescued me, right? And if you're here this morning and don't know about the happy day, come talk to me. Let's talk about what Jesus Christ has done for each one of us. Anyway, have we forgotten that happy day? It seems like in Revelation, the church at Ephesus, what happened to them? They lost their first love, right? Let's not let that happen to us. Let's not let that happen to us. You know, at times, not very often, some say to the speaker, "That was a good sermon. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that sermon. You did a great job." Do you know what that does to me? That causes my mind to think, oh, yes, thank you very much. But what happens is, unfortunately, You may say that to me, but then what happens with you? I would rather share with you a sermon that has a very poor outline, is very poorly delivered, and yet the Holy Spirit use it and work in your life to change you so that when you go out these doors, you are different. Not based on the eloquent words that I use, but based on what the Holy Spirit does in your heart. And I've shared this with you before. I'm not going to tickle your ears, right? I'm not going to make you think, Kevin, you did a great job with that sermon. If you say that to me, that's great. Thank you for listening. But I would rather you not tell me that and go out and be changed than for you to tell me that I did a good job and go out and there's no effect. I just wasted my time, except for the fact that I got into God's Word and studied for myself. And you didn't. So anyway, all that to say, living for the glory of God, that's what we should be doing. And in the next 5 minutes, I've got four more pages of notes to get through. And I've been through four pages, so here we go. What is the bottom line for running a good race? Living for the glory of God. Living in view of the Lord's heavenly kingdom. What kind of life are we living today? What kind of light are we in a dark world? You know, social media can be a great thing. It can be a very bad thing too. It can discourage. It can detract and distract. Are we letting our worldly system distract us from glorifying God, from drawing others to Him? Quickly, I want to mention just three of the men that are mentioned here in this passage. And this was actually the main part of the message. Three men that are mentioned. First one is Demas. Demas, we're told in Philemon 124, he's listed as a fellow worker. Says he started out well. He was a believer in Jesus Christ. But what does it say here in Paul's last days, his final comments about Demas? He's forsaken me. What did he do? Verse 10. Let me get my glasses on. It says, "For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Things got hard for Demas, I think, in Rome. There was Nero. Nero was blaming the Christians, right? Persecuting them. Demas got out of there. Now, I'm not suggesting at all that Demas is no longer a believer in Jesus Christ, but it would seem that Demas is no longer an active follower of Jesus Christ, possibly. Demas loved this present world. Maybe he was short-sighted. A fair-weather Christian, when times weren't good, he kind of got a little scared and think, you know what, it's a little bit nicer over here. I'm going to go over there where I'm not persecuted. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, Demas seems maybe he's not as faithful, possibly. Because the word, it says, Demas says hi. He's not referred to as a fellow worker, but we'll see Luke says hi as well. But there does not seem to be the emphasis on Demas and his love for the Lord mentioned there in Colossians. He went from being a fellow worker to just saying hi. Today, in church, surely not in this church, there are some, maybe in the past, that started out well. They were involved. They were teaching Sunday school. They were here at work days. They were involved in the different things of the church. They started out well. They were on fire for Jesus Christ. And when times got kind of hard, when maybe there's a death in the family, maybe there's a bad circumstance they were dealing with in their life, when times got tough, they slowly withdrew from God, slowly withdrew from their Savior and fellow believers. I think that's kind of what we see here with Demas. That's one page. We got three more to go. Let's look at Luke by contrast. It says in verse 11 that Luke was faithful with Paul. Luke knew the Greek language. Luke stood by him, although he's mentioned when it's mentioned here in verse 16 that all had deserted him. I think Luke was not there at his defense right then. But Luke was still with him in Rome. Luke was counted as faithful. He believed. Luke, in Luke chapter 1, talked about being an eyewitness to the things. He recorded the things as he investigated, as he researched. Then we see in verse 11 another man, Mark. It says, "Get Mark and bring with you Timothy. He is helpful, useful to me for service." Now, wait a minute. This is the same Mark that back when Paul and Barnabas went on their first missionary journey, they went out. Mark went back. Was not a help, was a hindrance. At some point along the way, Mark figured it out, right? And became useful to Paul. Paul had a heart for the work and didn't want anyone to hinder it. And yet now, he wants Mark to come. He's wanting Mark by his side, considering Mark to be faithful. So here we see three men. Demas started strong, then deserted Paul. Luke was faithful to the very end with Paul. Mark messed up, caused division between two servants of God, and yet he was restored to become useful and a profitable servant. So these three examples, which one do you relate with? Hopefully you don't relate with Paul, with Demas, that you started off strong and yet now, you know, this Christian thing is just kind of difficult. I'd rather just kick back, watch TV, eat my popcorn, go to work. If something comes up against God, you know, I'll let it go. I'll just keep my mouth shut. And just kind of go along for the ride. I know I have salvation. I know I'm going to heaven. Life is good. That's what the t-shirt says, right? Life is good. Or are you like Luke? You're faithful all the way to the end. Or maybe you're like Mark. Things got messed up in your life at some point. And now you're back on track. You know what's great about messing up is that you can get things right. You know? Yes, we're going to mess up. There are times that we're going to mess up. We're going to be unfaithful. There's going to be times that we sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess that sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That verse will preach right there. I don't say it's okay to mess up, but don't stay in your mess up. Get out of it. Don't stay there. Don't say that it's all over for me. I'm doomed to be a Demas. You don't know how far away from the Lord I am. I've done so many bad things. What did we say earlier? But God was all powerful. God is with you. There's nothing too big for God. There's no mess too great that you can't come back to Him. You know, I think so many times people think that I've done so many bad things, He could never possibly forgive me all that. That's limiting God's power, isn't it? That's limiting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for my sin to say that God can't do that. If you're here today and feel like you've messed up in some way, ask God to forgive you. Pray. Ask someone to pray with you. If you know somebody that has those thoughts, bring them to Jesus Christ. Tell them it's not too late. You know, on Wednesday nights, the first Wednesday of each month, let me slow down in my mind and thought, we pray for a list of people that we feel like at one point in their life were saved, and yet they've gone, it seems, their own way. God can bring them back to Him. Reach out to them. Let them know that God loves them, that you love them. Stop saying, why am I in this circumstance? And start saying, how, God, can I be used in this difficult situation? Help me know. Last words written by Paul, verse 22. Say this, the Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. A little information for you. The "your" there is singular. He's talking to Timothy. Lord be with your spirit. And then the "you" next is plural. The entire Ephesians congregation, grace be with you. God gives us so much, right? He gives us so much, and yet we mess up. And yet He's merciful and loving. How can we not praise Him? How can our hearts not be overjoyed and sing about the happy day when Jesus took my load, my sins away? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for loving us. We thank You for providing a Savior. I pray, Father, that You would use Your word to convict of sin by Your Spirit. I pray that You'd use Your words to encourage us today to be lights in a dark world. Help us not to be stuck in a dire situation and be asking, why, Lord? Why am I in this way? But help us, Lord, to say, how can I serve You? How can I get out of this mess? Help me, Lord, to know the only way out is to be in Your will, to be in line with You, to be in Your word. Thank You, Lord, for Your power. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence. Help us to not lose that. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen.